You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I want to do an update and a follow-up on yesterday's lead story that was breaking as I went on the air. And the information I had then that there were some fatalities and a number of people were injured, well, turns out there were quite a few fatalities. There were 22 people that were killed, and I've had conflicting reports, but at least 59 injuries. I've seen higher numbers, but that's typical because you have duplicates, and that's why you got to be very, very careful with early information. But we're getting more and more information on the now confirmed terrorist attack in Manchester, England. They've identified the suicide bomber. He was a 20-year-old Salman Abidi, and the Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack. And they're looking for his brother, and the police have arrested someone else, but they haven't disclosed the information as to details about the arrest. The concern is, and it's a big concern, is was he supported by someone in the Islamic State, either in England or abroad? Because apparently the bomb was a little bit more sophisticated than usual. So England today, or Great Britain, the United Kingdom, Scotland, and England, are on high alert. And we had what I thought was a terrific statement by the Prime Minister, Theresa May, this morning on the terrorist attack, which I'll play in a second. Now, something needs to be said, and people have trouble when you point this out. What's the probability of being killed by a terrorist? It's quite low. Does that mean we shouldn't be concerned about terrorists? No, absolutely not. But at the same token, you shouldn't panic, and people are prone to panic. It's similar to gun control. Every time there's a, quote, mass killing of four or more people involving guns, the people that want to take the guns, from who? The law-abiding. The law-abiding have a right to bear arms, and they need it to protect themselves from criminals, either breaking into their home and stealing stuff or breaking into their homes and threatening or having physical harm against the people that live there. And the people that need it most are those in high crime neighborhoods, and those tend to be blacks. So what's to be done? The answer is keep immigrants from countries where there is a high level of these terrorists out of the country. And that's what President Trump has been trying to do. And what are the courts doing? They're examining his campaign statements. Ultimately, what the president wanted to do, he will get ultimately the Supreme Court to rule on it, and they will rule in his favor because he has the authority. These are the same folks that would like to take people's guns. So keep in perspective what's going on here. You're more likely to be shot by someone in your neighborhood as opposed to be killed by a terrorist bomb. And that's why I'm really for people that want to. Not everybody wants to. I understand that. But if you want to exercise your Second Amendment right, please do. Am I saying if someone had a weapon there in Manchester? Remember, in Great Britain, they confiscated all the weapons. You see all the cops having it, but normally they don't have weapons. It's only in response to a terrorist attack. And what happened when they took all the weapons in Great Britain? House invasions went up. Robberies went up in terms of burglaries into people's houses. Fortunately, the United States has a constitution and a bill of rights. People don't feel safer in either Great Britain or Australia. Australia's another country. They took people's weapons away. See, that's what the lying lunatic left wants to do in this country. Take your weapons away. And then you're totally defenseless. The most difficult person to deal with is someone that's willing to commit suicide, and this person did. He was suicidal, and he killed himself. Didn't have to look for him. He was scattered all over the arena, and it was a deadly bomb. It had bolts, nails, shrapnel, and that's what killed people. And it was very powerful explosive. They're checking that, too. That's why the bomb looks sophisticated. This is not someone that had, well, this is someone that had knowledge of making a very powerful bomb. And it was deadly because he planned it. He wasn't in the arena, and that's a detail I have to emphasize. The concert was over. People were leaving, and there's several exits to this arena. It's one of the largest arenas in Europe. I think it's the second largest. It can hold as many as over 20,000. 21,000, I think, is the total capacity. And you have a lot of concerts there. And people like to go to concerts. Maybe not as much now. And what's sad about it, a lot of young children were there. It was a pop artist singing. See, it's up to the parents to decide, well, even though it's small probability of being killed by a terrorist, do I want my children to go to a concert? But before you answer yes or no, what about sporting events? See, a favorite target of these terrorists is any venue that has a large number of people. And if they know how to make an explosive bomb, that's, like I said, it's nearly impossible to prevent because this person was not inside the arena. He was outside. He was right at, there's a map, and before I continue, because I have a lot of information. For those that are first-time listeners, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, and this is show 898, you'll see a lot of information. YouTube videos, articles, photographs, cartoons, whatever is appropriate depending on the news story. And you have a diagram, that's why I'm pointing this out. There's a diagram of the stadium, and this was the exit that you could come from the railroad station. It's the Victoria Railroad Station, and there's a door leading into the arena, and he blew himself up as the crowd was exiting the arena. How are you going to stop for that? There are other exits. They had other ways to get in and out. So would you let your children go to a concert now? I think a lot of parents are saying, no way. But what happens is 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, you let your kids go. And most of the time, almost all the time, nothing's going to happen. Same with sporting events. What gets the attention for a while is when it's local. This is not local. Even though it was in the news, it'll be off the news really in another day, maybe two, unless there's some key development. Out of sight, out of mind. And a lot of people don't listen to news anymore. I certainly don't listen to the nightly news. Now, because I put a show on, I'm fairly up to date as to what are the breaking stories. I know what the number one, two, three, sometimes four, five, or six story is in terms of the importance and what the networks, for example, will be emphasizing. So I want to play two clips. First, I want to play the president's response to this. It was rather short, sweet, and to the point. Let's hear President Trump.
So many young, beautiful, innocent people living and enjoying their lives murdered by evil losers in life. I won't call them monsters because they would like that term. They would think that's a great name. I will call them from now on losers. Because that's what they are. They're losers. And we'll have more of them. But they're losers. Just remember that.
I prefer evil losers. Losers is people lose all the time. You don't win all the time. most people lose all the time. So I take exception to that. Evil losers sort of is more appropriate. And Donald Trump is on to something. The Islamic State wants to do battle with what they call the Crusaders, the Christian Crusaders. They want a replay of the Middle Ages, and that's where their mindset is. They have been trying to provoke the United States and Europe for years, 3, 4, 5 years. Remember, who was the Islamic State? They used to be Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and they were largely defeated by U.S. military forces, and most of them were killed. A lot of them fled to Syria, and then Barack Obama pulled out of Iraq, and then starting in the middle of June of 2014, that same group that, for all practical purposes, the United States military had defeated, came back and took a lot of territory and was panicking people. Now, most of that territory, not all of it, but most of it has been, again, after many firefights, engagements, has been taken back first by the Iraqi forces and more by Syrian forces. The Islamic State is on the run. It's not defeated, and they've more or less going to go underground. It's going to be insurgent-type warfare. And the difficulty there is to win that takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment, and the American people don't want to send 50 or 100,000 troops into Syria. Everyone agrees that they really want to destroy or kill the Islamic State, but do you want your son and daughter to go over there? And the answer is, I'll tell you, no. Why? And that gets back to the speech that Donald Trump gave in Saudi Arabia. It's really a problem of the countries in the Middle East. So while I praise this speech that Donald Trump gave, I don't want to see, and neither does the American people want to see, tens of thousands of U.S. military troops in those countries. It's up to the Saudis, the Iraqis, the Syrians. But think about Syria. There's no good side to pick. And that's why I was saying, why it's a great speech, this is going to take years, if not decades, to really address. That's why there will be continuing terrorist attacks all over the world. And a new generation of jihadists, they think they're in a holy war. They truly believe they're in a holy war. And that's why a lot of them are suicidal. They're going to go to heaven. You've heard it, and get 70, 72 virgins. And the ones that are suicidal believe it. Now, the ones that aren't are not going to blow themselves up, but they will fight. So we heard Donald Trump. I thought was more impressive, though, was the United Kingdom's Prime Minister, Theresa May. Let's hear her statement, which is longer but more thoughtful.
I have just chaired a meeting of the government's emergency committee, COBRA, where we discussed the details of and the response to the appalling events in Manchester last night. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and the families and friends of all those affected. It is now beyond doubt that the people of Manchester and of this country have fallen victim to a callous terrorist attack. An attack that targeted some of the youngest people in our society with cold calculation. This was among the worst terrorist incidents we have ever experienced in the United Kingdom. And although it is not the first time Manchester has suffered in this way, it is the worst attack the city has experienced and the worst ever to hit the north of England. The police and security services are working at speed to establish the complete picture, but I want to tell you what I can at this stage. At 10:33 last night, the police were called to reports of an explosion at Manchester Arena in Manchester City Centre near Victoria train station. We now know that a single terrorist detonated his improvised explosive device near one of the exits of the venue, deliberately choosing the time and place to cause maximum carnage and to kill and injure indiscriminately. The explosion coincided with the conclusion of a pop concert, which was attended by many young families and groups of children. All acts of terrorism are cowardly attacks on innocent people, but this attack stands out for its appalling, sickening cowardice, deliberately targeting innocent, defenseless children and young people who should have been enjoying one of the most memorable nights of their lives. As things stand, I can tell you that in addition to the attacker, 22 people have died and 59 people have been injured. Those who were injured are being treated in 8 different hospitals across Greater Manchester. Many are being treated for life-threatening conditions. And we know that among those killed and injured were many children and young people. We struggle to comprehend the warped and twisted mind that sees a room packed with young children not as a scene to cherish, but as an opportunity for carnage. But we can continue to resolve to thwart such attacks in future, to take on and defeat the ideology that often fuels this violence, and if there turn out to be others responsible for this attack, to seek them out and bring them to justice. The police and security services believe that the attack was carried out by one man, but they now need to know whether he was acting alone or as part of a wider group. It will take some time to establish these facts, and the investigation will continue. The police and security services will be given all the resources they need to complete that task. The police and security services believe they know the identity of the perpetrator, but at this stage of their investigations, we cannot confirm his name. The police and emergency services have, as always, acted with great courage, and on behalf of the country, I want to express our gratitude to them. They acted in accordance with the plans they have in place and the exercises they conduct to test those plans, and they performed with the utmost professionalism. 400 police officers were involved in the operation through the night, and many paramedics, doctors, and nurses have worked valiantly amid traumatic and terrible scenes to save lives and care for the wounded. Significant resources have been deployed to the police investigation, and there continue to be visible patrols around Manchester, which include the deployment of armed officers. For people who live and work in Manchester, there remains a large cordon in place around Manchester Arena and Victoria Station, which will be in place for some time. The station is closed and will remain closed while a detailed forensic search is underway. We know that many friends and relatives of people caught up in the attack are still trying to find out what has happened to their children, brothers and sisters, parents and loved ones. So please, think of those people who are experiencing unimaginable worry. And if you have any information at all relating to the attack, please contact Greater Manchester Police. The threat level remains at severe. That means that a terrorist attack remains highly likely. But the Independent Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre, which sets the threat level on the basis of the intelligence available to them, will continue to assess this throughout today and in the days ahead. Later today, I will travel to Manchester to meet the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, Ian Hopkins, the Mayor of Greater Manchester, Andy Burnham, and members of the emergency services who have come to Manchester's aid in its moment of need. And as I announced last night, the general election campaign has been suspended. I will chair another meeting of COBRA later today. At terrible moments like these, it is customary for leaders, politicians, and others to condemn the perpetrators and declare that the terrorists will not win. But the fact that we have been here before and the fact that we need to say this again does not make it any less true. For as so often while we experienced the worst of humanity in Manchester last night, we also saw the best. The cowardice of the attacker met the bravery of the emergency services and the people of Manchester. The attempt to divide us met countless acts of kindness that brought people closer together. And in the days ahead, those must be the things we remember. The images we hold in our minds should not be those of senseless slaughter, but of the ordinary men and women who put concerns about their own safety to one side and rushed to help. Of the men and women of the emergency services who worked tirelessly to bring comfort, to help, and to save lives. Of the messages of solidarity and hope of all those who opened their homes to the victims. For they are the images that embody the spirit of Manchester and the spirit of Britain, a spirit that through years of conflict and terrorism has never been broken and will never be broken. There will be difficult days ahead. We offer our thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of those affected. We offer our full support to the authorities, the emergency and the security services as they go about their work. And we all, every single one of us, stand with the people of Manchester at this terrible time. And today, let us remember those who died, and let us celebrate those who helped, safe in the knowledge that the terrorists will never win, and our values, our country, and our way of life will always prevail.
That was the Prime Minister May of the United Kingdom giving a relatively short, to-the-point statement. Let me also extend my thoughts and prayers to the friends and family of both the deceased and injured, and I'm sure the American people feel the same way. I want to move off this story, and if there's more information, I'll definitely update it on tomorrow's show or Thursday's. We have suicide bomber is dead. The only question is, did anyone help him? And that's still an open question. And that will take much longer to determine. Today was supposed to be the day that a lot of tension in Washington was going to be focused on President Trump's first budget proposal for fiscal year 2018. I have casually looked it over, and I'll explain why I say casually. You got to keep in mind it's the responsibility of Congress, specifically the House, to determine how much money is spent. Tax and spending bills must originate in the House of Representatives, then go to the Senate, and then they take their turn. And hopefully they, if they're not too far apart, have a joint budget reconciliation meeting and come up with a bill, common language, that's sent to the president for his signature. What I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. The president's budget is, I'm being diplomatic here, it's a suggestion. Here's where I think we should spend the money or not spend the money. And I emphasize that because it's clear to me that this presidential budget is not going to go anywhere. First, you have the Democrats that are totally against it, and you have a lot of Republicans, especially the neocons, that want to go to war with almost any nation in the world, that want a dramatically increased defense budget. I think Donald Trump's budget, while it might get the attention of his supporters, is not going to convince most people in Washington, D.C. Now, just so you understand where I'm coming from, I believe my political philosophy is one of classical liberalism. I believe we have two parties today, big government parties, that are literally incapable of balancing the budget. They suffer from a condition I call spending addiction disorder. It's worse than a drug habit because you and I are paying for it. To the extent you're paying any taxes at all, whether it's income taxes or payroll taxes, you're paying for it. It's our money that they're taking. There's no such thing as government money. Now, they've totally lost sight of that. Last fiscal year that ended last October, the budget deficit was $587 billion. That's a billion with a B, where a billion is 1,000 million. That's a lot of money, folks. Now, my crystal ball is no better than the crystal balls out of Washington, D.C., but we're looking at somewhere between a $400 and $500 billion deficit minimum, and I really think it's going to be somewhere between $500 and $600 billion. The budget doesn't balance. Let me get right to the bottom line. It doesn't. The closest they'll come to balancing the budget is 10 years from now. Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is not a libertarian. Donald Trump is not a classical liberal. He fits right in with the big government, big spending, big borrowing politicians. I warned you about this. And now that we see his first budget, see what gets passed. Now, what's going to get the attention of the Trump supporters, and I'm going to go over this, you're going to see on the news a lot of cuts that people like. I like them. But don't forget, what did Donald Trump take off the table? And he did it for political reasons, folks. No secret about that. He took off the table so-called entitlement programs. What are entitlement programs? Social Security and Medicare. I'm not going to touch them. I'm not going to touch them. Okay, that's popular. He's a populist. But if you're not going to touch them, what are you going to touch? Now, food stamps, he is going to touch. Medicaid, not Medicare, Medicaid, is partially funded by the federal government and funded by the states, and it's usually either number one, two, or three item in the state after education, roads, and Medicaid. It's for medical care for the poor, people that can't pay. See, the best welfare program is a job. And that's why I agree with Donald Trump. If he had economic policies that could give us between 3% and 4% economic growth, and that means cutting government spending. And let me make very, very clear here. I'm not expecting him to balance the budget the very first year, but I would have hoped he would have shot for 4 years at best, and at worst, 8 years. But 10 years? That's why I don't think it's serious. It doesn't cut enough, because he immediately takes off the table two, and actually three, of the big spending areas, which are what? Entitlement programs, at least 25%, and it goes on up. And they're adding a new entitlement, but trying to force the states to fund it, that's not going to fly. This child care that his daughter came up with, that's going nowhere, but it's in there, a new entitlement. They never seem to learn. Medicaid has huge deficits, and Social Security is having more. We have over 200 trillion, not a billion, trillion. A trillion is 1,000 billion, 1,000 billion. We have 200 trillion in unfunded liabilities, and mainly for two programs, entitlement programs, Social Security and Medicare. So why Donald Trump, President Trump, did the politically smart thing, the politicians will not face reality. Let's cut to the chase here. If you look, I'm going to just read some numbers off the charts. He's cutting the Department of Labor by 21%. Wow. Agriculture, 21%. Wow. State Department by 29%. Wow. EPA, 31%. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to happen. Neither Democrats or the Republicans in Congress are going to let it happen. It's the right direction, and this is discretionary spending, but discretionary spending is less than, in terms of government spending, less than 20% of all government spending is discretionary. Now, if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that I want to close at least 8, if not 10, federal departments. And ultimately, that's going to happen, because what's going to happen is entitlement programs and welfare programs, they call it income security programs, are growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you add defense to it and interest on the debt, those are the big four. At some point in the 2030s, if not sooner, those four categories will not only eat up all the tax revenue, but a lot of the debt. The only way the United States government today can pay its bills is to borrow a lot of money. And it's gone up, up, and up. And I've said, I think after 4 years of Donald Trump, it'll be probably another 10 trillion in debt. We'll see. Actually, excuse me. If he's in for 8 years, the debt will go from 20 trillion to 30 trillion. That's my conservative estimate. Now, the good news, but not if you listen to some senators, defense goes up 9%, Homeland Security 7%, Veterans Affairs 6%. I agree with all that. The problem you have are the neocons and the hawks, the people that want to dramatically increase defense spending. And I go along with part of what they're saying is we've starved defense. And I agree. But who are we going to fight World War III against? Who can project power? I don't think it's Russia, folks. And truth be known, it's not China either. We are the world superpower. We're the hegemon. We spend approximately half of all military spending in the world today is the United States government. You see, the big spenders that want a strong defense, I want a strong defense to defend the United States of America. I do not want a massive military to project power in country after country. In other words, act like an imperialist when an empire, and that's what it is, an American empire. Because if you want to intervene in country after country, you're going to have to spend a lot of money on defense, and we don't have it anymore. We've blown it. So to cut to the bottom line, because I'm running out of time, this budget is dead on arrival, and once it arrives, it'll be thrown in the trash, and then what's going to happen is Congress will pass a budget that will have a deficit of somewhere between $500 and $600 billion. And we'll know for sure on 30 September. Remember, the 2018 budget ends when? It ends September 30th, 2018. This year's debt, we're a few months away. Well, the end of September of 2017 is the end of the 2017 budget. That budget for sure will be somewhere between, and the deficit will be somewhere over $500 billion, somewhere between $500 billion and $600 billion. Now, I'd be pleased if it were less, and the only way it's going to be less is we have a booming economy, a lot of people are working, and they have more revenues. If that doesn't happen, if we go into recession, folks, it'll be over $600 billion. The only way it can keep between $500 and $600 billion is how a growing economy. Now, I agree we need to get back to 3-4% growth, but that means cutting government spending and cutting taxes, and good luck with that, because there's no will, there's no courage in terms of the Republican Party to do this. They're both big spending parties. That's why I said, if you're hoping for fundamental change, balanced budgets, fiscal responsibility, an economy growing at 4, 5, 6%, this proposal doesn't do it. It really falls short. Now, I'm running out of time, and I just want to touch upon this. The Democratic Party, together with big lie media, your television networks, your newspapers, I call them the lying lunatic left, are obsessed, and I mean obsessed, with the mime that they're trying to spread is Trump and his campaign colluded or conspired or coordinated with the Russians. I keep saying, as do Republicans and as do Trump, show us the proof. Where's the evidence? See, they can go on and on with this, and I hope they do. Don't take me wrong here. I should shut up about this, because they're beginning to look like damn fools. People don't believe it. And what they're doing is fueling their base, and their base is saying, well, where's the evidence? They don't have it. This is propaganda, folks. This is progressive propaganda. They can't prove it. A lot of smoke, but no fire. A lot of smoke. Yeah, they're creating the smoke. They're blowing smoke in your eyes. But let me warn them again. The story last week was the appointment of not a special prosecutor, but a special counsel to look into and investigate Russia's influence on this election. Well, I got a news flash. A lot of nations want to influence our elections, and they do it every year, especially in a presidential year. And there are politicians out there that will take their money one way or the other. And two politicians that have taken their money is Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Now, they do this through their Clinton Charitable Foundation. And I'm all for charity. I prefer charity over government spending. The problem you have is a number of governments gave millions of dollars with the firm expectation of two things. One, that President Clinton, that she was going to be president. And they set an appointment with who? Secretary of State Clinton when she was in. And they got the appointment through the Clinton Charitable Foundation from the staffs of that foundation and the State Department. And then they made their pitch. Here's what we want. Now, they don't put it that crudely, but that's why they give the money. Because why? Let's take the Middle East. In a lot of countries, bribery is okay. It's a way of doing business. It's part of the cost of doing business. It's bribery. It's illegal for United States citizens to do it, but it's a way of doing business. And it doesn't mean that some U.S. corporations are not beyond that. So my warning to the Democratic Party is Mueller could expand his investigation and really look into, and should look into, the Clinton Foundation. And that investigation, to my knowledge, hasn't been wrapped up, still going on, and there's more than smoke there. I think there's fire there. The reason you have all this attention and propaganda is, one, as an excuse, an explanation to why Hillary lost. The explanation that the reason Hillary lost, she's a lousy candidate. Let's face it, nobody likes her. Even people in her own party don't like her. and she's a liar. And she turned off the American people, and they said, the hell with her. It had nothing to do with James Comey, or very little, let's put it that way, or the Russians. Nobody believes the Russians were responsible for electing Donald Trump. The only ones that believe that are Hillary Clinton and her enablers that were afraid to tell the truth. You're going to lose, Hillary. I'm sorry, but you're going to lose. However, keep pushing this. And mark my words, suddenly what will be in the news is Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are under investigation by the FBI, and yes, and it could be Mueller or someone else. Robert, I call him Three Sticks, the third, will be investigating her. Because there's a lot of evidence there, a lot of evidence. Now, that hasn't been front and center, and Big Lie Media is not going to make it front and center, but that can and will happen. And if Donald Trump was smart, he'll make sure it happens. And if Democrats persist in this, you're only going to make Donald Trump mad. And that's good as far as I'm concerned, because he was right when he was debating her. He should make that phone call or should instruct the Attorney General to look into this by appointing a special prosecutor. I have to cut it off right now. I'm a little bit long already. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.